Hello there, this is Richard Allibone on webtalkradio.net, giving you the reasons that paranormal is normal. I've not spoken about ghosts much on these programs, but this week is all about ghosts that have been seen in the city of Prague, that's in the Czech Republic. It's a typical large city, but very old, and over the years there have been many political or wartime murders there. Some of these are particularly horrific, and my guest has made a study of these events, as well as the general history of the city. Let's meet Jessica Ramage, who takes parties round the old city in the evenings.
Hello.
Ah, hello, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi. Now, I wanted to talk to you today about McGee's Ghost Tours of Prague, who I believe are your employer, and you work for them and do tours around Prague every evening or most evenings in the week.
It's most evenings at the moment, actually. We're very, very busy just now, so
yeah,
feels like it's every evening at the moment.
That's fine. And although it's in the Czech Republic, you're in fact from Edinburgh originally, with a wee Scottish accent.
It confuses quite a lot of folk, actually. It's usually the first thing that people sort of stop and kind of give me funny looks at the minute I open my mouth and don't have a very, very Czech accent.
Yes.
But I came over here just because I love the place, to be honest. It's an absolutely beautiful city, and the history that it's got is just fantastic. So, you know, being able to kind of go for my lunch and sit on the old town square beneath the astronomical clock or something, that's just what makes it for me. So
Yes, I've never been to Prague myself, but I know my son has, and a neighbour of mine had a holiday there, and they both came back and said what a fine place it is. But as well as being a beautiful place, it's very old, and it has a lot of horrific history, and that's in fact the basis of what your ghost tours are about. There have been reports of ghosts for, I expect, for hundreds of years.
It just seems like every little bit of the tour that you actually learn, because we're always adding like new routes and such like, so we have to learn new bits of history all the time, and it seems to get worse and worse in terms of the horrific stuff that has happened. Just the more that we learn, it's amazing the amount of the really, really nice buildings that we've got. Some of the things that happened in their past, you just would never believe it. But yeah, there's supposedly been ghosts sighted even going back into the 1500s, 1600s. There's stories of people seeing things. So even sort of back then, it seems to have had this reputation for being like just a strange city where kind of weird things happen. So it's great for us doing the tours because we've got plenty of material, basically.
Yeah, and it's these old cities that seem to have these ghostly connotations, thinking Edinburgh and London in this country, and I guess it's probably the same in Paris, although I haven't heard of ghosts in Paris, but I'm sure there is. Anyway, maybe you could give us a bit of a flavour of some of the things that you meet on your tours or you talk about.
Well, it's funny, we've actually got almost like kind of two different kinds in a way, because we tell the stories, which some of them are more kind of, not far-fetched, but a bit more kind of like stories rather than things that people have actually experienced. We've got one that's like a supposedly a walking skeleton that goes up and down the street begging for money. But we've got everything from that to then we do like the underground tour. We go down into the catacombs underneath the old town hall, and we've actually had like things ourselves happening down there. We tell people the stories and the ghost stories and things about it, but then we actually do have stuff pretty regularly on the tours. We have kind of unexplained noises, we have really, really strange photographs people take down there, and I mean, me personally, I've had some really, really odd things in that underground, but that seems to be where you get the most sort of personal things happening to us. The rest, we tell the stories, but they're more kind of like, you know, sort of historical stories. Things that people say that they've seen over the years, but when we go down into this underground area, that's when we tell the people on the tour, yeah, this is supposed to happen and that's supposed to happen, and quite a lot of the time it actually does. So it's my favourite tour, I have to say, is going down there. I absolutely love going into the underground.
And presumably it's It's underground. It's catacombs, you say, that were built under the cathedral. Well,
it's a little bit different. Basically, it's underneath the old town. And the thing with the old town is when they actually built it back in like the 800s, roughly, they discovered that the river used to flood quite a lot. So what they did was just basically raised up the street level. And so the catacombs really are the original kind of ground floor of the house. It's just like half the city's been buried almost. So that's what we go down into. But because it was underground, it's underneath the building that was the courtroom and the town council offices for the old town. And they thought it was quite a good place that you could put things that you didn't really want out in public. So it was their torture chambers and their dungeons, and they quite often would have executed people down there as well if they didn't want to kind of have it in public. So, I mean, that's, a lot of people believe that's why it's got this kind of funny atmosphere. But also, though, before it was used as the dungeon, people actually lived in it. So it could also be the fact that we've had probably hundreds of people kind of passing through that sort of environment. But it's a really, really strange place. As I say, I absolutely love it, but there's a lot of people, even just guides on our tour, who don't like going down there. We've had like people asking to leave, saying that they felt suddenly just like really depressed, or a lot of the time we get people saying they feel like kind of nauseous, like migrainey. It's especially in certain rooms. There's like two rooms in particular that seem to have like the most strange things happening in them. But I mean, it's maybe no surprising when it's got the history like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me personally, I'm sort of in the middle when it comes to the unexplained. I don't completely believe, but I don't disbelieve either. I'm just willing to be convinced. But I have seen things down there and heard things down there that I have no idea how to explain, basically.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yes. For me personally, I have to say I've never had that sort of experience, although I've spoken to, you know, several who have, and I'm a firm believer in these things and very fascinated by it all. Now, the sort of things that you talk to when you have a tour down there, you talk to people and talk about some of the torture and this sort of thing, do you? Some of the history of the place?
Yeah, we do kind of a mixture, to be honest. We tell them the history of the place because it's got, I mean, obviously quite a lot of historical connections. A lot of like quite famous Czech figures were connected with the area, so we tell them a little bit about that. But we also we've started now just telling them about some of the things that's happened in there, because we've been running it for quite some time now since we got the deal going with the old town hall to be able to go down there. And pretty much from the beginning, from when they started doing the tours down there, I mean, I personally was not working there at that time. I've been there since November. But we have now enough stories that our guides and our customers have had going down into the underground that we actually have a whole tour kind of made out of just that almost. So we sort of give you kind of both. We give you the historical side of it and just examples of things that's more recent. But it's really so that people can go down there and can try and get a bit of the atmosphere for themselves and hopefully, you know, see or hear something themselves.
Yeah. Yes, and then, of course, some of the tours are above ground in the streets, and I guess you go into some of the buildings, can you?
We go into, there's a big bridge across the River Vltava. It's called the Charles Bridge, which a lot of people go and visit. It's you see it in a lot of the photographs. It's the one that's got all the statues along it. And it's got big towers at both ends of it that were sort of defensive kind of towers. The one on the old town site is supposed to be really, really haunted. And so we've just started, actually just this month, we've started doing a tour that takes you right up to the very top. And, I mean, you get great views from, like, over Prague at night from up there. But it's really quite a strange place to go because you're used to it completely full of tourists during the day. And then going there at night when there's no one and you're the only people in there, it's just, I have to say, I've only ever done that tour once so far, so I've not had anything happen on it yet, but I'm kind of hoping because it's just got that sort of feeling about it, like it does have a kind of an activity about it. But that's really the only place we go inside. The rest of the tours are really just walks. round about the city, but we kind of do it at night. We have the ghost tours, and even the other ones, we kind of tend to tell more the sort of gruesome and strange history rather than just the straightforward sort of history. But a lot of the tours, it's more about kind of letting people see the city when it is quiet. Because it is, unfortunately, one of the downsides of Prague is it's very, very busy during the day. And like things like Prague Castle, if you try to go up there during the day, you're pushing your way through like big, big organised tour parties to get there kind of early and take up all the spots. Whereas we decided to do it at night because then we've got the place to ourselves. So we've not just got the atmosphere, we've got some quiet and people actually get the chance to have a look at some of the things. So
yeah. And of course, if people are going to have some sort of experience or just getting the feel of the place, the emotion of past hauntings or whatever, it's much more likely to happen in the evenings in when it's quiet.
Exactly, yeah. It's a bit of a shame we're actual ghost tour, to be honest, because that one goes around the old town. And the old town, obviously all the clubs and the pubs and things are run about there just now. It tends to be open till like 1, 2 in the morning. But occasionally you can get it when it's a bit quieter. And that's when I prefer it like that, because that's when you can actually feel it. You know, you can feel the strangeness for some of the places. And again, we don't tend to have that many sort of examples of activity, do we, on the above ground walks. What we do get an awful lot of is photos. A lot of people take photographs around about the places, and there's, again, I always say to them, you know, this is a place that lots of people get weird things, and so there's specific spots that seem to be more active than others in terms of where people get these things, like the, you know, the orbs, where it's the kind of balls of light on the photographs and mists and all these kinds of, there's certain places seem to have it more than others. And funnily enough, actually, some of the places that have it more are not often the ones that you would expect, like the ones that have the really strong historical stories behind them, or the really gruesome history. It tends to be the quieter places, the ones that are a bit more out of the way and maybe not so noticeable, that have like really, really strange things happen. But with the above ground tours, to me, when I'm doing it, I always say to the people, it's more about just giving you a chance to feel the atmosphere. We're not saying you're going to come on a tour and you're going to see a ghost, basically. But we tell you the story. We don't make anything up. We don't make the story up or anything. But they're all kind of things that people have told over the years. Whether you believe them or not, it's up to you. I mean, the walking skeleton one, you know, you might think is a bit silly sometimes, but it's a genuine story that people have said that they've seen. So it's up to you whether or not you want to believe it. But we want to just really say to you, this is the city, and just have a feel of it. Just experience it in the quiet and see if you can pick up a little bit of that magic it's supposed to have, you know?
Yes, I can sort of visualise what it's like. And now perhaps you could tell me something about some of the gruesome sides of things that have happened in the past in Prague, in which they say are responsible for these haunts.
Oh, we've got quite a lot. The one that's sort of central to a lot of the hauntings, including in the tower, the bridge, is supposed to be related to this as well, is we had a really big execution in 1621. It was to do with a lot of kind of religious trouble that was happening in the country at the time, and there was a rebellion against the emperor. They basically executed 27 of the kind of ringleaders, but they did it all in the one day, just on the one scaffold. They just killed all 27 of them, and there were a lot of other kind of issues connected with it. A lot of the characters connected with it experienced some quite nasty personal history, and that is behind so many of the ghost stories and things that we have in Prague. I mean, it's supposedly the 27 noblemen come back as ghosts every year on the anniversary of the execution. They're supposed to be, that's who's haunting the tower, because some of their heads were actually taken and hung on the tower as a sort of warning to people not to rebel. But they were actually up there for 10 years before they were taken down again. So supposedly some of the nobles are still kind of wandering up and down the tower at night. Which is why I'm quite looking forward to doing a wee bit more of that tour to see if we can actually hear something. And a lot of them were actually held prisoner down in those catacombs underneath the old town hall. So again, some of our guides, that's what they think is behind some of the activity we get down there. So that's tied in with, basically because it took in a lot of different places in Prague. because some of them were in the Prague Castle, some of them were in the catacombs. A lot of the stories kind of relate back to that. So, but I mean, we had one of the really famous buildings supposedly has got they sacrificed a child because they thought the work on the building was cursed, and they decided that they would sacrifice this little, like an orphan, this little girl, to try and offer her soul to get rid of the curse. And supposedly she's buried in the foundations of this building, and it's on the Old Town Square. It's one of the most beautiful buildings that you would see there. And yet, you know, it has horrible history behind it. And but there's pretty much everywhere, pretty much every tourist site that you would go and see if you go and visit Prague, there's something nasty working in the background. But as I say, it's great for us because we can make lots of tours out of it.
And you have a lot of people come round on the tours, do you? Have you have perhaps about 10 or 15 people, or is it less normally?
It varies. Well, it depends on the tour. The ghost tour, the old town tour, tends to be the most popular one. We get anything up to, I've seen sort of 35 people at one time on that tour, which is quite a big group for us. We get private tours that are bigger, but we generally try to limit it to about maybe 20 to 30 on that tour, just because when you've got a bigger group, it's harder to get people into the underground, it's harder to let people see the sights and to actually spend the time speaking to people. But generally, the other tours, maybe about 9 or 10 is the sort of biggest group we have. It tends to be quite small on some of the longer tours. But that, I mean, to me, that's quite good, though, because it gives you the chance to actually sort of get to know the people that's on your tour and actually speak to them personally.
Yeah. A lot of the buildings, of course, are very old, but there is some more recent history of perhaps wartime horrors which give rise to haunts.
Yeah, actually, for me personally, one of the weirdest things I've ever had, which actually wasn't on the tour, but it was for work, because I do a lot of work for our website and the blog, and I do a lot of photography for the things like our new flyers and the website. And I was actually out just walking around the route that we do for the Prague Castle tour, which is like, it's our longest tour. It's about 3 hours, that one, but it takes you right round a lot of the buildings. And all I was doing was just going around taking pictures of things that people would see if they came with me on the tour. So I didn't know what my boss really wanted. I just knew she wanted photographs to illustrate the tour. And there is one building in particular it's not even particularly old. It only dates back to the 19th century. But it was used as a sort of interrogation centre and a prison, both during the war by the Gestapo and then later on by the secret police during communism. And it supposedly, in fact, more people died there under the communists than actually died when the Gestapo were using it. It's got a really horrible reputation. And the whole of the tour, I'd had no problems whatsoever with the photography until I tried to take photographs around about that building. And then all of a sudden, nothing would work. It was as if, the only thing I can describe it is if someone had put a cigarette or something underneath the lens of the camera, the whole thing was fogged up. As soon as I moved away from there, absolutely fine. And I tried every setting I could think of on the camera to see if the autofocus was funny or something. Everything was fine, and everything had worked fine up until that point. But just see around that building, it refused point blank to work. And I know one of my colleagues, we've got a guy from America, from Florida somewhere, he's very interested in the war, so he's into things, and he'd been telling people about the last uprising in 45, when the Old Town Square was quite badly damaged by artillery fire, and part of the Old Town Hall had just completely burned down. But what they did was they took parts of it, and they've put it inside the Old Town Hall in the room that we go into just before we go down into the underground. So there's kind of remains of this bit that was damaged. And he claimed that when he was in there, there'd been this smell of like a fire, as if the building was on fire. And he said he used to be a volunteer firefighter, so he knew the smell really, really well. And it was just there for a moment and then just gone. And he's convinced it's maybe like a leave-over from what happened in 45. So there's things connected with the more modern stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it's all very strange. My own particular interest in all this is to reason how and why. And one of the things about haunted buildings and places is that some ghost hunters say it's due to the quartz in the buildings.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, the stone tape theory.
Stone tape recording. It does sort of add up, and it fits in with other things in the paranormal. Presumably, the buildings, are they granite in general? Is it what is the local stone, or is it just limestone?
It's usually sandstone.
Sandstone.
A lot of them are sandstone.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I, that's kind of my theory with it as well. I think if there is something there, then I think that's quite a good theory to explain it, especially the underground, where it's a purely stone complex. And, you know, if that theory actually works, if it can actually store up, you know, the kind of emotions and things that have happened, it must have got something down there with the amount of people who basically came to their end in those rooms. It's quite awesome to think about when you go down there. But yeah, that's actually at one point in the script for our tour, cause we do have a script, but we tend to kind of personalise it and adapt it ourselves, because you have to adapt it for who you've got on the tour, obviously. But there is actually a line that was in that, discussing that, because it's the theory behind one of the sightings that we've got. Actually, of a headless Turk. Sorry, I tell a lie, he's not headless, he has a severed head under his arm. That's it.
Oh.
I'm getting him mixed up with someone else on the tour. But that's one of the theories, is it's actually the stone, because of the type of building it is that's producing the effects to do with that one. So.
Yeah, and of course, there is another, for me, there's another aspect to that down in the catacombs, which, as you said, used to be a river at one time. Used to be water there. And what happens with in a river is that the quartz settles, the sort of sharp crystals of quartz, which are the things which retain memories of the past. They would be in the river. Very often you get a sort of psychic effects along fast flowing rivers, and so that's another possibility.
Well, the other thing I thought about was it Lethbridge that came up with the theory that water, particularly if there's a lot of moisture in the air, you tend to get an awful lot of these kind of effects and people seeing things. And again, it's really, really damp down in those catacombs. Even though it would have to really, really flood, we'd have to have a really, really bad flood nowadays for it to actually reach that far. It's still, if it's raining, because there's windows and things still kind of looking out a tiny bit onto the square, you get a lot of moisture. You quite often see it like running down the walls in certain rooms. It's quite eerie sometimes when you catch it with a lantern light. But it does tend to be really muggy and really damp down there. And so again, that's possibly behind why that particular bit is more kind of atmospheric and tends to have more sightings. Because we have actually had people actually seeing things as opposed to just funny noises and photos and things. So.
Yes, and well, I know that cellars and places underground always tend to be a bit damp anyway, don't they? Yeah. Yes. So how do you feel about the about your ghost tours? you tend to enjoy them and enjoy talking to the people, I guess.
I do. I enjoy them. As I say, I really enjoy the underground one because I am really interested. In the sort of paranormal, when I was in Edinburgh, I was always down in sort of Greyfriars trying to see if I could find a poltergeist and all these kind of things. I just really, really would love to get something, some sort of experience, and I've always wanted to have something that I can't explain to sort of convince me in a way that there's something there. And I've had that since I've gone down there. So I would love, in fact, to just be overnight on my own in the catacombs and just see if I could get anything, but they'll probably never ever allow me to do that. But that's my favourite one, I have to say. I like that one, and I actually like the Prague Castle one, although it is very long, because I love that area. It's just so beautiful going up to the castle, and the fact that you do get the chance to really get to know the people on your tour when you've got them kind of that amount of time, and we get the chance quite often to stop off to have some of the oldest beer in Prague on that tour, so an added bonus. But I like them all. I have to say, I like them all. It's always really interesting because you get such a kind of diverse range of people that go on the tours. We get everything from, we actually have had paranormal investigators coming on the tour, to just people who've seen it on a leaflet and didn't even know it was a ghost tour and are quite surprised when we start talking about ghosts, to people who are kind of in the middle of the road or just looking for something different. But we get people from all over the world, because although it's an English language tour, we get people who obviously English maybe is not their first language, and but it's the nearest they can get to something they speak. We get people like from Finland, from Hungary, from all over the place. And that's what I love about it, is in between telling the ghost stories, you have to walk to the different places, and that gives you the chance to just chat to people and find out, you know, where they're from, what they're doing, what kind of job they've got, and it's great. That's I think that's my favourite thing about it, because, you know, I like talking, as you possibly have gathered.
But and of course, the people that come around, apart from the ghostly side of it, I'm sure it's, because Prague is such a fascinating place and such a beautiful place, people get the opportunity of seeing these things in the evening when it's a bit quieter, and take photographs and whatever. So it makes a good evening out for people, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Touching wood, I haven't had any negative reviews on TripAdvisor yet. But, you know, I always try to suss out who I've got on the tour. I have like a little introduction bit where I just tell them a bit about me and basically why there's a Scottish person taking them on their tour. But I kind of use that to just see sort of sense of humour and what sort of things they seem to be interested in, if it's more history or if it's more the ghosts. And then I always like to try and give everyone the sort of best that they can get and try and tailor it towards who I've got so that they get the best out of it. But I think that's what I love. I love the fact that I get to take these people around and just, I don't think you would ever meet as many different people in other walks of life. You know, it's just great.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll have to close now, I think. And thank you very much. And it's nice to do a bit of advertising about your company, McKee's Ghost Tours of Prague. And they have a website, I believe.
It's McGee's Ghost Tours, just all as one, .com.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes, I have looked at it a week or two ago. Right, well, thank you, Jessica.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you.
Yes, indeed. Thanks. Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
And that was Jessica Ramage speaking to me from the Czech Republic in Europe, where she lives. She came from Edinburgh in Scotland, hence the broad Scottish accent, where they have a history of haunted houses and ghosts. I remember hearing stories of some visions of workers who were building a railway tunnel when it collapsed on them, and the cries of help that were heard at that spot years later. I heard this from people who lived there when I was visiting Edinburgh some years ago. It's all part of experiences that have always been repeated round the world, where there has been some emotional or horrific accident or even murder. Somehow the memories get recorded, and they are then picked up later by someone who happens to be there. When it comes to finding out how and why, there does seem to be a few common features that are repeated. It seems that psychic people are more sensitive to these things. I've spoken to people who found certain places in old buildings oppressive and frightening for no reason, to the extent that they would not stay there or return, of course. Then there's the question, how is the memory of the event recorded? Most ghost hunters will say it's the quartz in the stone or brick of the building. That seems fairly well established. But if you study the places where these things happen, it's more than building material. It can be in areas of natural granite, which contain the right particle size of quartz, or it can be near a big river where there is fine quartz in the silt at the bottom of the river. Sometimes a road accident will be seen repeatedly, where the road material could be the source of the memories. Another common thing about ghosts is that they can be physical phenomena, like sounds or lights, all somewhat mysterious, but there is emerging the common range of evidence which leads to some sort of understanding. I've found listening to Jessica's tales very interesting, and I hope you did as well. She certainly made the ghosts and mysteries in her hometown come to life. Many thanks, Jessica. This is Richard Alabone signing off from webtalkradio.net, showing that ghosts are normal sometimes and not paranormal. Bye for now.